Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Some of you in this room remember World War II. I don't. It's kind of a given, probably. I know what I've read about it. But I'm curious, for those of you who do remember it, what do you recall about life at home during the war?
Chaotic.
Chaotic?
Scary.
Scary. Rationing?
No sugar.
No sugar?
Scary.
That's scary, no sugar. That's very scary. That's true, you have a very unique perspective because you were in the, were you in London for it?
No, I was not. I was out in the country.
But you were still in the UK. The Blitz.
Yeah, well, and I remember the bus bombs. Mm-hmm. First and second. I was in London at that time visiting.
Do any of you remember, and this is a loaded word, so please understand how I mean it. Don't be offended by it. But do any of you remember any of the propaganda that was used during it? The posters, keep up morale. The film clips, the movies, buy war bonds, ration, you are needed. There's a famous poster that's become very popular of late around the world. It was actually produced in the United Kingdom. It has a crown on the top, and it says, keep calm and carry on. Keep calm and carry on. It's possible that you have seen a parody of this poster at some point because it has become very popular in the last few years. The poster was never actually used during World War II. It was produced, and then they decided that it wasn't really going to be very helpful, and so they set it aside. And then someone in an antique shop in the early 2000s stumbled across an unused copy of it. And thought it was interesting and put it up by their cash register. And other people thought it was really cool, so then they started to ask them for copies. So the person who had the antique shop said, oh, I'll make you a copy. It will cost you this much. And it just kind of spread from there. Keep calm and carry on. I've seen versions of that all over the place. Sometimes it gets twisted on its head. I saw one. None of you are the sort of, how do I put this, geek that your pastor is. Nerd, I don't know what the term to use for you would be. I know the terms for my generation. I try to figure out a way to say this. I've seen one that said something like, the zombies are coming, run for your lives. And it was the same setup, but it was obviously done as a parody. But keep calm and carry on is the original. What's the intention of that? Intention of that is to rally morale, right? In the face of potential invasion, in the face of incessant bombing, fear, rationing, uncertainty about the future, keep calm and carry on. You've heard the expression, keep a stiff upper lip, right? Which honestly is very associated with the British, let's be honest. That's culturally, we have this idea. In the face of turmoil, keep calm. Carry on. The Israelites today faileth that miserably. Horrifically. They don't keep calm and carry on. They freak out. They panic. What was it, because there were no graves in Egypt that you took us away? That you took us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us? What have you done to us? Bringing us out of Egypt. Is this not the very thing we told you? Let us alone. Let us serve the Egyptians. For it would have been better for us to have served the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. Thanks a lot, Moses. Side note, little true story, if you go back and look earlier in Exodus, you will notice that when Moses is speaking to the Israelites, they do not actually say those words to him. They're reluctant to follow. They aren't excited about following, but they don't actually say to him, "Leave us alone and let us serve the Egyptians." That's a little bit of a revisionist history there on their part. But now things are bad. They've left and Pharaoh's followed. They're in danger. Obviously, it's somebody's fault. It must be Moses's. Why did you do this to us? How could you do this to us, Moses? Did you notice earlier in Exodus? I didn't even catch this until I was just reading it today. Earlier in the reading today, it actually said, when they set out, where was it? Verse 8. The Israelites were going out boldly. They were going out boldly. Yes. Yes. Let us follow Moses. Let us go boldly into the wilderness. Yes, Moses, lead us. We're free. Woohoo! Wait, Pharaoh's mad? Why did you do this to us, Moses? And they turned. What do we know about life in Egypt for Israel? Last week you heard bits and pieces of the time from Joseph. Things weren't too bad, to be honest. In the time of Joseph, there was kind of this uneasy tension between the Israelites and the Egyptians. Things could have been much worse. Generally left alone, not completely, but at least enough to get by. But then the Israelites went and had all these babies. You know what happens when you have a lot of babies? Population grows. And if you're an occupying power, if you're someone who is trying to keep down and oppress a group of people, that becomes very inconvenient if they start growing in numbers. It's much easier to keep a few of them down, but if there's more, this could be dangerous. We might have a revolution on our hands at some point. So things crack down. There's demands for physical labor by the Israelites and abuse and restrictions on worship and a lack of rights for them. There's slavery is what happens. But even then, Israel found a way to survive. Not to thrive. I would not say they were thriving when Moses comes on the scene, but they're surviving. They're getting by. And into that survival, God throws Moses. What have you done to us? That seriously might be my favorite part of this entire reading. What have you done to us? Not why did we follow you? They absolved themselves of all responsibility. You did this to us. We didn't choose to follow you. You were all charismatic and stuff. You tricked us. Now we're going to die in the Moses. Die in the Moses. Die in the wilderness because of Moses. Not the same word. They're scared. They aren't just scared. I don't know if people even use this word anymore. They're feckless. They aren't just scared. They have no sense of self-worth. No sense of initiative. They panic completely. We want things to get better. That's what they say. We want things to get better. Moses has appeared. There's an opportunity. Let us follow. We leave boldly. We want things to get better. But can we not have to risk anything for that to happen? Fix it for us, Moses. But take the blame if it doesn't work out. Be our sacrificial goat if one is needed. 2 weeks ago, we had Abram and Sarai. They were told to go. You remember that? Maybe you remember now because Pastor Wett reminded you last week. They were told to go, to leave that which was familiar, to leave that which was safe, to leave their family and their friends behind, to leave being settled behind. And today it's similar. Today Israel is told, go. Leave that which is familiar and unsafe behind. Leave behind oppression. Leave behind fear. Leave behind abuse. Leave behind slavery. And the crazy thing is, we're told that those who were told to leave their family and friends, those who were told to leave safety, they did it more willingly. Bless you. They did it more willingly than those who were told to leave slavery. Now, don't get me wrong. It'd be really easy to say, well, that's unfair. Because God actually speaks to Abram and tells him to go. And so that's a lot easier to do that than the Israelites who were just following Moses. But God spoke to Moses too, remember? That whole burning bush thing. And Moses wasn't exactly excited when God spoke to him. I don't want to know God, no. You want somebody else. This is a wrong number. I'm sorry, I noticed the bush, I came over, I thought it was on fire. Should have been somebody else. Those who were leaving slavery were more reluctant to follow. Those who were leaving that which was unsafe, that which was killing them, were more reluctant to follow than those who were actually doing pretty well. In a time of scarcity and fear, it's so easy to just cling to the devil you know. Do you know that saying, the devil you know? It's an awful saying, but it's true. Sometimes when things seem really, really bad, it's a bad job or a bad relationship, some bad situation in life, but at least I know what to expect. I know how to survive this. I may not like it, but what if it gets worse? Told you this before several times. God does not want us to survive. God wants us to thrive. And don't worry, I'm not trying to channel Joel Osteen or something. I'm not going to start saying, God wants you to be rich. That's not where I'm going with this. Although if any of you do stumble across that, we do have budget issues at times, so feel free to help out. But God doesn't want us to just survive. God wants us to thrive. Be fruitful and multiply isn't just go out and have a lot of kids. It means to be more than just making it. I think about the ministry here. You hear me talk about this a lot. I think about the ministry here. And I think about just all these opportunities that keep dropping in our laps. Keep dropping in our laps because of the Spirit. Relationships and resources. And I'll give you a really crazy small example that just happened this past week. Evidence to me that God continues to want us to thrive and not just survive. Judy walked into the office and she gives me this letter. She has no idea where I'm going with this because she gives me a lot of letters. She walks into the office and she gives me this letter from one of the 12-step groups because they wanted to know if it was okay with us If they organized people to clean the carpets in the upper fireside room, isn't that where it was, the upper fireside room? They wanted to take up a collection amongst other groups that use that space to get that taken care of. I found it hilarious that they wanted our permission. You can guess we said yes. But at the same time, wouldn't it be so easy and wouldn't it be so stupid to take a look at that and just say, no, this is our responsibility. This is our building. This is ours. I appreciate the thought, but we will take care of this ourselves. Thank you very much. I'm glad that most of you just laughed when I said that you're like, no, I would never say that. That's good. That's good that you recognize that. I told you that we're having this meeting next week. And we're going to talk about it in the adult forum after worship of all the groups that meet here. And I'll be honest with you, I'm very excited and very scared about that meeting. Both. Because I think one of the things that we've talked about that we're realizing is that to really be what God is calling us to be as a community of faith here, that means we have to, on occasion, give up some control and be okay with letting others take on certain tasks and contribute and take on some ownership, a sense of ownership of the place. Take pride in the place. I mean pride in the good way, not in the cometh before a fall kind of way. Because the attitude that this is just ours and ours alone, which I get the sense most of you don't have anymore, that's fantastic because I'll stop talking about it so much. But the attitude that this is ours and ours alone will kill us. It will. But we don't have to worry about that, do we? Because we are being led by Christ. Because we have been blessed with opportunities and ministries here that are feeding this place. We have ways to create something new here that we never expected. Ways that God keeps showing us, I want this place to thrive, to be a beacon in this community. It is not good enough for Bethel Lutheran Church to just survive. It was not good enough for the people in Egypt to just survive. As much as the Israelites wanted to just survive. But this is safer. It's convenient. God, let us just stay here. It's not that much fun, but you know what? I know what to expect. Do not be afraid, Moses said. Stand firm and see the deliverance that the Lord will accomplish for you today. God is at work. God never has and never will abandon us. Keep calm and carry on. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to keep still and let Him. Let us pray. Holy, good, and gracious God, we give you thanks for the multitude of ways in which you continue to lift up new life in this place. We ask you to bless the ministry of Bethel Lutheran Church. We ask you to bless the ministries of the other churches and organizations who operate out of this place that we call home. We ask you to give us peace and guidance. We ask you to help us to be ever aware of your Spirit and the ways in which you continue to create new opportunities here. Help us to grab onto those and to use them to the best of our ability through you. In your Son's most gracious, holy, and loving name, we pray. Amen.